We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of John, the 12th chapter. That's going to be the text for this morning's lesson. We're going to be looking at a very well-known verse of Scripture, and it is one of my favorites, John chapter 12 and verse number 48. I want to read this passage together again, and then we're going to focus in particularly on verse 48. Let's begin in verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now, verse 48 is where we're going to put our emphasis this morning. And it ought to be a passage of great interest to us, because Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This passage ought to be of great interest to each and every one of us here this morning, because the Lord is talking about something of eternal consequence. He is telling us that there is a day coming in which we are going to be judged. And He tells us the standard by which we will be judged. And knowing that I'm going to have to give an account, and knowing that that account that I give is going to determine my eternity, whether I spend it in heaven or in hell, it is of the utmost interest to me to know about this standard. And that's our subject this morning, John chapter 12 and verse 48. The first point that I want you to observe today from John 12, 48 is the standard by which I will be judged is the Word of Christ. The standard by which I will be judged is the Word of Christ. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day." Now, friends, I want you to appreciate with me that that means that the Word of Christ is authoritative. That means that the Bible is authoritative. It is the standard by which I will be judged on that last day when I stand before God. And until a man understands that and agrees to that fact, he is never ready to go to heaven. And in fact, this needs to be established at the beginning of every Bible study. Because if a person doesn't believe in the authority of the Bible, then you're working from a different standard, and you are never going to convert that person. You are never going to convince them of the truth. I had a study with a lady on one occasion, and I was trying to teach her what the Bible says about baptism. She insisted that a person does not have to be baptized in order to be saved. And I asked her this question. I said, "Ma'am, if I can show you proof positive from the Bible that baptism is necessary to be saved, will you be baptized?" And she said, "No." And I thought, then why are we having this study? Now, what did she tell me when she said no? If I could show her from the Bible and convince her from the Bible she had to be baptized, would she do it? And she said no. She was telling me that the Scriptures were not her authority. She was telling me she was operating from a different standard. But folks, we need to understand the Lord has said it is His Word that is going to judge us at the last day. It is the ultimate source of authority. And you know that only makes sense. Because in Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All power," that's the word for authority, "all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth." And just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He told His apostles, "When I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you," to the apostles. "And the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth," John 14, 26. And that's exactly what happened. The Holy Spirit came and inspired this message that we have in the New Testament. He inspired it. He wrote the word. These men, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, wrote the words of God in this book, and it now stands forever as the standard by which we will be judged. It is authoritative. But I want you to appreciate this. Not only is the Word of God authoritative, it is all sufficient. When I pick up this book, I hold in my hand everything that I need to know to please God. There is not one fact, Not one single thing that the Lord wants me to know that is not contained in the pages of this book. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect." The word there in the original language means complete. He says, through the Scriptures we are complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means through the Scripture I have everything I need to please God for all good works, that I can be complete. That's why 2 Peter 1:3 says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Now what does that mean? What am I lacking? If I've got the Scripture, what information am I lacking? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now folks, why is that so important? That is so important because it means I don't need a modern day revelation. Everything that I need, God has given to me. Everything for godliness, everything for completeness, everything I need to please the Lord is contained in this book. That means I don't need the Lord to speak to me in a dream. You know, sometimes preachers in the world will get up and say, "The Lord laid this message on my heart this morning." He didn't do it. He didn't do it. The Lord said, "Everything that I want you to know and everything you need is right here in this book." Sometimes people will say, "Well, the Lord spoke to me in a dream and He told me what I needed to know." He didn't do it. He told me everything that you need to know is right here. That means when people say that the Lord came to me in a vision or gave me miraculous knowledge or an angel appeared unto me or any of these things, it did not happen, because the Lord said, indeed, we don't need such. When Christ said, "All authority is given to me, the Holy Spirit will come and guide you into all truth," once the Holy Spirit had revealed all truth and the Lord said, "Everything you need is here," He did not give any latter day revelation. Listen to this. And Jude, verse 3, Jude wrote, "Beloved, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, for the gospel, for the New Testament system." Listen to what he goes on to say. "That was once delivered unto the saints." He said the gospel system, the New Testament church, all of this, he said it was once delivered for the saints. That means once. When it was completed, it was done. And so if someone comes along at a later time and says, "The Lord has spoken to me, the Lord has given me some additional information," then you know that person is a liar. Because if the faith was once delivered, and in that I have all things, what do I want with a latter-day revelation? And ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand the Lord is very serious about this. People treat this so lightly, but the Lord is very serious about those who would come along and give additional information after He has closed His gospel. We quote very often Revelation 22:18. John wrote, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the book of this prophecy, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." And in Galatians chapter 1, he pronounces a curse on anyone who would change or who would alter his gospel or who would offer another gospel other than the one contained into this book. Why? Because this one's complete and it was once delivered. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, "But though we or an angel from heaven," even if an angel from heaven came and offered you a different gospel than that one which we have preached, he said, "Let him be accursed." Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but this is a very serious matter that the Mormon church needs to take note of this, because they claim that the angel Moroni, or however they pronounce his name, Moroni, appeared to Joseph Smith with a latter-day revelation. But the Apostle Paul said, and he went on to say after the passage I just quoted, he said, "As we said before, so say I now again." This is so important. He said it twice. He said, "If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Galatians 1:9. Why? Why is this so serious? Because Jesus said, "Everything you need is right here. It's been once delivered." If everything is here and you received it once, anything else is going to hurt me. Anything else is damaging to me. Anything else did not come from God. And so John 12:48 tells us the Word of Christ is the authority by which we'll be judged. Here's a second point in the lesson. When I look at John 12:48, I find out that not only is the Word of Christ the authority by which I'll be judged at the judgment day, but I also find out there are going to be some people who are going to reject that authority. There are going to be some people who will reject Christ, and they will reject the New Testament. Again, verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word." Ladies and gentlemen, the world is full of men who reject Christ and who reject the authority of the Bible. First, there are those of the atheistic philosophy who say there is no God, who will say that man is his own authority. Man is the only one to whom he must answer. The Bible says such a man is a fool. Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I want you to listen to this, because it's not just atheists. Even among religious people, there are those who reject the authority of Christ, and they reject Christ's word, and they turn to other sources. Now, if you thought about this, and I just ask you the question, what are some of the sources of authority that people use to make determinations in religion? Just think of some of the answers. One such authority that people in the religious world go to, they reject the word of Christ, and it takes backseat to their own preferences. You know, some people have no higher motive in their religious practices than their own likes and their dislikes. I went to visit a man in the hospital one day. He was a friend or a family member of a member of the church where I was preaching. And so I went to visit this man, and he was not a member of the church himself, but he told me he was looking for a church. And I thought, well, this is a good opportunity to talk to this man about the truth. But he told me very quickly, he said, I'm not looking for the Church of Christ. And I said, why? And he said, because I love instrumental music. And so I'm not interested in that church. I want you to think about that. You see, the whole basis upon which he was choosing a church was not the Word of Christ, by which he's ultimately going to be judged at the judgment day, but it was based upon his personal likes and dislikes. But folks, if we follow our personal likes and dislikes, religion is going to be utter chaos. Can you imagine standing before God on the judgment day and telling Him, Lord, the reason I did it this way is because I liked it better? The standard is that standard's not going to be any good then. Because the Lord said, the word that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. Well, for some people, their standard is not the word of Christ, but it's their feelings. But you know, the problem with feelings is that they vary from person to person. What feels right to one person doesn't feel right to somebody else. And not only do feelings vary from person to person, but don't your own feelings even change from time to time? Our own feelings change. And on top of that, feelings can be very deceptive. You remember in Genesis chapter 37, Jacob was deceived into thinking that his son Joseph was dead. And he believed it. And he felt it. He felt like Joseph really was dead. And based on this feeling, his heart was torn up. He mourned on his behalf. But in actuality, Joseph was alive and well in the land of Egypt. Genesis 37, verses 31 through 35. The point is, our feelings are only as good as the information we receive. And so if someone receives false information, they may feel like everything's okay. The point is, feelings are deceptive, and so they can't be our standard for authority. I heard a story about a woman. She was riding on a train years ago. And she had a little baby bundled up in her arms. It was cold and it was snowing, and the snow was coming down so hard you couldn't even see. And for whatever reason, at some point, the snow was coming down so hard that they stopped the train. Well, this woman assumed they stopped the train. We must be at our stop. We must be at one of our destinations. So she bundled up her baby and she got off the train, and the snow was so heavy she couldn't see anything, so she stepped off. And shortly after she stepped off, the train started back and left her there. And the story goes on to say both the woman and the baby died there in the cold. Now, what was the problem? She sincerely felt that this was right, but her information was wrong. Feelings are deceptive. In fact, the Bible says exactly that. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Just because it seems right means nothing. The Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. Now, for some people, their standard is not the word of Christ, but it's human reasoning. Now, please don't get me wrong, because God has created us as rational beings. And each of us needs to use our reasoning. We need to think. We need to make decisions. And certainly it's true that we need to approach the Bible as reasonable human beings. But we need to realize that man's ability to reason is limited. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah wrote, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Spiritually speaking, it's not up to me to decide where I'm going to go in matters of religion. Now, you know, there are some things that we can know through human reasoning. Man, unaided, can look at creation and know that there is a God. In Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Romans 1 and verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." What does that mean? It means that I can look around and I can see the creation, and simply by human reasoning, I can know that there is a Creator. But you see, there are other things that I cannot know simply by human reasoning. Now, I can know that there is a God, but I can't know what He wants me to do to serve Him simply by human reasoning. The only way that I can know what God expects of me is to go to the Scriptures and to read it. Now, sometimes people, through human reasoning, people get to reasoning about the plan of salvation. And sometimes people will say, "Well, you know, I don't think that baptism is necessary to be saved because, you know, I see that the Lord said it, but that just doesn't make sense to me. In my human reasoning, I just don't think that follows. I can't see what it accomplishes." But you see, the problem is they're relying on human reasoning and not on faith. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man, the worldly man, who's thinking of things in physical terms, receiveth not the Spirit of God, for these things are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The point of that passage is, if you're looking at things through the point of human reasoning, from a physical standpoint, you're not going to understand some things, because they are simply matters of faith. And baptism is a matter of faith in the Lord and obedience to His command. I'm baptized because the Lord said to do it. I understand through the Bible that's where my sins are washed away, and I have faith in that command. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. If I'm just going to look at it from the perspective of a natural man, from a purely physical standpoint, I'm going to look on baptism and say, that doesn't make any sense. How can physical water wash away spiritual sin? I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense. I reject it. Folks, that's human reasoning. You know, in the Old Testament, in the days of ancient Israel, the Bible says there were some people who tried to depend on human reasoning. Judges 17 and verse 6 says, "In those days there was no king in Israel." You remember what it says? "And every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And if we let human reasoning determine how we're going to behave ourselves, that's going to be the same thing that happens today. Every man is going to do that which is right in his own eyes. But you know what the problem with that is? The problem with me doing what's right in my own eyes is that on the day of judgment, the Lord is not going to judge me by what was right in my own eyes. The Lord is going to judge me by the word of Christ, the word that I have spoken. The same will judge him in the last day. Well, for some people, their standard is not the word of Christ, but it is their family. Some people follow a certain thing in religion because that's what their family's already done, always done. Their authority for what they believe is, if it was good enough for my parents, then it's good enough for me. And some people refuse to accept anything different from what their parents believe because they believe, if they do, that they will be being disloyal to their parents. They might even feel like that they're some way condemning their parents if they accept something different from that which their parents believed. Folks, we need to understand the Bible teaches that every man is responsible for his own soul. Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." The Apostle Paul reminds us, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to the Lord." Romans 14:12. That means when I stand before the judgment bar of God, the Lord is not going to ask me what my mother believed. He's not going to ask me what my daughter believed. He's not even going to ask me what my spouse believed. The Lord said, "The word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day." That being the case, I want the word of Christ. I want to know what it says. You know, for some people, their standard of authority in religion is not the Bible, but it is the majority. Some people base their determination of right or wrong on how many people do it. But I want you to think about this. Think about the implications of this. If that were true, you would have to change your religion every time you moved, wouldn't you? In some areas of the world, you would have to be a Muslim. In other areas of the world, you'd have to be a Buddhist. In the United States, if you lived in Utah, you'd have to be a Mormon. But if you moved to Georgia, you'd have to be a Southern Baptist. But you see, if you look at the Bible, you quickly see that the majority is not the determining factor. And it never has been. In fact, God's people are almost always in the minority. I want you to think about Noah. Think about 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21. The Bible tells us that in the days of the great flood, there were 8 souls who were saved. I've thought about that oftentimes, and that is staggering to me. If you go back and study, the indication seems to be there were over in excess of 1 million people living at that time. In excess of 1 million people, and there were 8 people who were right. That is amazing. Now, what about today? Is the majority right today? Think about this. Jesus said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat." He says, because straight, difficult is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I've got the idea, if you stop people randomly on the street and said, "Do you believe that most people are going to heaven?" The majority of people would say, "Yes, most people are." And they would be surprised to see that the Bible says there will be few who will enter in thereat. I had a study with a man one time. We talked about the gospel plan of salvation according to the New Testament. This man had been baptized as a baby. And as we went through the study, I had convinced him that he needed to be baptized. And I could see it was bothering his conscience. He'd looked at the scriptures and he saw it, and he was really distraught over this. And he said, "Let me go home, let me think about this." So he called me a little bit later that day, and he said, "I went home and I started calling different people, and I asked all of them, 'Am I okay right now like I am?' And all of those people said, 'Yes,' and so I'm not going to study with you anymore." That's what he told me. And I said to him, "Sir, that's well and good, but you see, the problem is, those people you spoke to are not going to be your judge in the last day. Jesus said, 'The word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day.' It doesn't matter what those people said. You might have found 1 million people who said you're okay, but that doesn't matter. Every other person in the world might have said you're okay, but that's not even going to come up at the judgment day. The Lord's going to say, 'Did you do what was in my word? The word I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day.'" That's why Moses warned in Exodus 23 and verse 2, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." It doesn't matter how many people do it. If it's not right, you don't do it. Well, for many people, their standard is not the word of Christ, but it is religious leaders. Don't you think that's the case with many people? They act and behave a certain way because they take the word of their priest, or the word of their pastor, or the word of their preacher. That is their authority. I talked to a man some time back, and he just constantly kept saying, "Well, I hear you, but the preacher on TV said so-and-so." He had a preacher that he just loved on the television, and he said that this man said so-and-so. But this man talked about this preacher, and he said, "You know, he said so-and-so, and he said this." And many people think that their preacher or their pastor has a special call from God, and so he must be right. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that, but that's what they believe. Or they think because he has a Doctor of Divinity degree, he must be right. Or because he's such a good man, because he's such an outstanding moral man, he must be right. And everything he says in matters of religion must be right. And what ends up happening is this man becomes their source of authority rather than the word of the Lord. But friends, I want to tell you that preachers and pastors and priests oftentimes disagree. Many times they teach things that contradict one another. And so how am I to know which one of them is right? And on top of that, the Bible warns us that even spiritual leaders can be mistaken. And so that's why God tells us you've got to put them to the test. 1 John 4 and 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." The Lord said what you've got to do is get the Bible out and put them to the test. Now why would God say that? Because Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." Jesus said, "Get out my word and compare what they're saying to that." And so religious leaders, no matter how devout they may be, no matter how learned they may be, they can't be our standard because men are fallible. And besides that, Jesus said, it's not going to matter what the religious leader told you. He said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." Now here's the third point, last point in the lesson, very short. The first point is we have a standard by which we'll be judged. That's Jesus Christ. The second point is many people are going to reject that standard. And the third point is that no other standard is going to be accepted on the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, it's a remarkable passage there in verse 21. because Jesus gives us a glimpse into the judgment day. He tells us what's going to happen as we're standing before God on that last day. And he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now what's Jesus saying? He said, it doesn't matter those who have cried out, "Lord, Lord," that's not going to make any difference. He said, what's going to matter is those who did my will. Now that means that my personal preferences are not going to make any difference on the day of judgment. That means it's not going to matter about my feelings. It's not going to matter about human reasoning. It's not going to matter what my family thought. It's not going to matter about what the majority or every person around me did, or even what my religious leader taught me. What is going to matter is, did I do the will of the Father? Did I obey the word of the Lord? And if I have not, he is going to say, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, we need to know what the Bible says. And I want you to investigate it for yourself, because Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day." Friends, the Bible teaches there are certain things that a person must do in order to be saved and in order to obey the Lord. If you don't do those things, you'll lose your soul eternally. Now, what are those things? The Bible teaches a man must hear the gospel and he must believe it. Jesus said in his word, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins," John 8:24. But upon hearing it and believing it, a man must repent of his sins. Acts 2:38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 17:30 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Why? He says, because there's a day coming in which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. In other words, the judgment day is coming. And if you haven't repented, you're not ready for that day. You have to hear it, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, like the Ethiopian eunuch did when he said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Romans 10:9-10 says, "With the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." And then the Bible says to obey the will of the Father, a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. 1 Peter 3:20-21, the Bible says, "The light figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God." These are things the Lord taught in his word. And Jesus said, "The word that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day."